What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast with lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It is March 27th, and I, my friends, am your host, your loyal host, Sean Kane here. Breaking down the slates, building up lineups. That's what we do every single day, 6 days a week here on Lineup Logic. Hope you guys are doing well. A crazy weekend of DFS, no doubt. A lot of head scratchers. Of course, the Devin Booker 90-pointer. Who could forget that? I mean, unbelievable. We'll talk about it all here on the show today. But of course, we also have a Monday, a five-gamer. It's tricky. It's got some good spots to target, though, for sure. No question. And we're going to pay close attention in the next coming weeks to how are we finding where we want to invest our money. And you know, that's honestly, Josh and I were talking about it big time on Friday, guys. Figuring out which teams you want to have shares of really matters at this point. Where guys are getting minutes, where guys aren't getting minutes, teams that are punting games, where that, what kind of mode they're in, you know, it's going to lead to, it's a very strategic, you have to be very strategic in your roster construction. And so, you know, we're going to continue to pay attention to that, break that down, make sure that we are on the right side of all the craziness here. First, before we go any further, shout out to the new patrons, Patreon page up and running, the community doing so well, the Slack channel up and running all weekend. Guys, if you're not involved, get involved. You know, I know some people are waiting for April 1 to come around. We're just around the corner there. Get a new monthly subscription beginning April 1. But of course, it's $10 a month. You know, really, really, really inexpensive rate considering we're kind of at the end of the season here. We kept that rate pretty low. But shout out to the new patrons, Sarah, Devin, James, Doug, all jumped in there this weekend, got themselves access to the cheat sheet, live updates continuously throughout the day before the slate. For me and Spectre and Josh and Kingsguard. And then we're in the Slack channel and just chatting it up with people. You know, I wasn't able to be too active in the Slack channel this weekend just for family stuff, but people are there asking questions, answering questions, having conversations at any time of the day, just talking up the slate, figuring out, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think about this? What about that? You know, and I think it's a really just useful part of the community, and people are friendly, asking and answering questions, and that's all we ask. You know, if you guys are going to be in there asking questions, answer questions. People want input, you know, want help, and I think that it's a really great community so far. So shout out to everybody in the Patreon community and on the Lineup Logic Slack channel. You know, it's gone really, really well thus far. So, and if you don't know how to find it, go Patreon, Patreon.com/LineupLogic. And check it out. Watch the video. I introduce exactly what it is and how it works, and get signed up. It's just an exciting time for us, but you know, we do have a slate to break down. We got slates to break down all week on the eve of the playoffs here coming up. Everybody's making their final push. Some crazy, crazy basketball being played, not to mention March Madness. I mean, good God, UCLA, Kentucky, it's one for the ages, huh? And who would expect freaking South Carolina to be in a Final Four? Really, really cool. I mean, it's just a great time of year for basketball. So let's not waste much time. We're going to preview the night to come in the NBA. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. We'll break it all down. We'll talk playoff situations. Of course, we want to make sure that you guys understand exactly, you know, who's in it, who's going to compete, and who's, you know, who's punting here. Because you don't want shares of guys that are being, you know, sent to the bench for no reason. You know, you just don't want that. So let's go ahead and before we jump into the breakdown, though, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so taking a look back at the Friday lineup, of course, Friday, the night where Dev Book goes for 90. I mean, just insane. Top scores and like just even multipliers are over 400 because he goes for 90. Harden goes for 75. Giannis goes for 66. You know, Minnesota Lakers game goes to overtime. You know, just like unbelievable scores across the board. Of course, I fell flat on my face because I had no shares of Devin Booker. I had all the other Suns, which were just absolutely pitiful. But, you know, I think that this is a classic. This is an important line to recap. You know, the Booker performance is unbelievable, for the record. Like, I have to go on the record. If you, for some reason, believe that it was fluky or he's not that good or it doesn't count or they still lost, you're just not paying attention to what that kid was able to do from a combination of efficiency, the free throw line, the way he played the game, and his age. I mean, if this kid can stay healthy, the sky's the limit for him, man. I mean, this is he has a post game, he has a three-pointer, he can run the point, he's 6'6". I mean, this is Kobe territory we're talking about. Now, I know I'm flirting with disaster in that, but like, just the way he wants the ball and the way he works the post and stuff. I mean, the kid has unbelievable game. So a lot of respect to Devin Booker. That was an incredible performance. But this is a classic night of process over results. Now, there was one hole in my process here, and I'm frustrated by it that I didn't acknowledge it. When you see all those Suns out, obviously you want to go to some of the Suns. The rotation was really tight. So I went Ulis, I went Chris, I even went Barbosa because I wanted a min-price player. Fine, great, okay, great. Increased usage for everyone, increased minutes for everyone, super small rotation. But the reason that you had to get on Booker wasn't because of the decrease in rotation. That was huge. The reason you should get on Booker was because Avery Bradley sat. That was the kicker. And that was what I missed. When Avery Bradley sat, you opened up this amazing opportunity on the wings for scorers because a combination of things happen. One is you take their best defensive player off the court. Two, the Celtics really weren't playing defense, nor was Phoenix. Nobody was playing defense in that game, to be clear. Like, that was unbelievable. And with no Bradley on the court, and Booker capable of running the point, Booker switched over to the one in the second half. Ulis went to the two, and all of a sudden touches for everybody else went down because Booker was running pick and roll, and he was the primary ball handler throughout the entire second half. And then they started the whole, like, oh my God, he's going for a scoring record, right? You know, it's a really high scoring game, and then all of a sudden he gets up to 50, and everybody's starting to encourage him to keep going. So, you know, you had to be on Booker, not necessarily just because of the small rotation, but when you add the Avery Bradley thing, you really should have been on Booker. And that was, I liked my lineup too much to toy with it, and I just ignored it because I didn't see an outlier performance coming from Booker. And I don't think anybody can say they saw an outlier performance coming, but you did have Booker was not a bad lineup choice. It wasn't. It really wasn't. He was in a good position to succeed. So, you know, it's one of those, you have to trust your process. I mean, the core of what I built went 6X. I went Rubio, Towns, and Wiggins as a nice Wolves stack against the Lakers because I know their minutes are secure. I know there was a terrible defensive situation in Los Angeles and a super high total and pace. Great. Go for it. Rubio, Towns, and Wiggins. You know, all in good positions, all exceeded value. Okay. And then I went with Giannis because he was in a must-win situation at home against Atlanta, who struggles against the wing, and no four in Millsap there. So I had four guys who went 6X. The rest of the problem was that I just had a bunch of freaking losers in there, and Tyler Ulis, Barbosa actually was fine, but you know, for a min-price player, he did fine. But I took a risk on Matt Barnes, and that was silly. That was silly. That was just a gut call. He was a low own, but he just didn't do anything in that Sacramento game. Rashawn Holmes gets sent to the bench for Sean Long, of course, and Marquese Chris. You know, it was a frustrating thing to happen. Friday night was over before it even started for me, really, you know, but it processed over results. You know, had a really strong core. I just missed on Booker, and had I gotten on Booker over Ulis maybe, and you know, taking some of the value that we talked about at shooting or point guard, a la Brandon Jennings, then I would have been okay. So, and I think the thing to remember, though, is like, we can't trust anything. We have to be skeptical about everything in our lineup construction these days. you have to basically presume that everything is going to go wrong for any team that you roster, okay? And I think that at the core of what you do, you have to target the most safe and secure situations. So whether it's very small rotations, whether it is a player who you know is going to get 30 minutes because they're in player development mode, or they're in a playoff chase, or they're in a competitive game, or they need the win, or whatever the situation, you have to make sure that you're skeptical about every single roster choice that you make, because the bottom can fall out on any of these guys. The bottom can fall out on every single one of them at this point in the season. And I think, you know, we have to continuously talk about this, and Josh and I are going to continue to talk about this on the pod, but like, we have to talk about rest. We have to talk about games that are going to be, you know, punt games for certain teams. We have to talk about why this team is going to play their starters, if they're going to play their starters. How banged up is this guy? Can he take the minutes? Is he, you know, all these things? Because you see a lot of teams, honestly, a lot of teams are tired. Tired, man. A lot of guys just don't have legs right now. LeBron is so banged up. Gordon Hayward playing terribly, just doesn't have legs. The Clippers on their back-to-back lose to Sacramento at the last possession because they just can't keep up with the Kings. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are just banged up and tired right now because they are really pushing themselves. Russell Westbrook looks tired. The Thunder look tired. They played terribly against the Rockets yesterday. And, you know, a bunch player like Lou Williams, a deep bench like the Houston Rockets, takes advantage of that and goes ham on them. By the way, a lot of you guys may have seen that I tweeted out yesterday how unbelievably frustrated I was with the way that FanDuel organized the slate. Like, they could have had a beautiful afternoon only 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock slate, and then a 6 p.m. main slate that had all those nice late games, the Golden State and the Denver game, everything like that. I realized why they did it. Yesterday was the live final in Miami. So they built a slate just for the live final that was the main slate. That was the 3:30 games up to the 6 o'clock games so that they could have results by 9 p.m. Thanks a lot, FanDuel. Thanks a lot, FanDuel. Because you know what? The guys who make the live final are way more important than the millions and millions of entry fees that are paid by regular people who want to play normal slates. Whatever. Annoying. Just annoying. I ended up not even playing yesterday because I had to go to a dinner event, and I was like, you know what, 3:30 lock, I'm not doing this. I wasn't going to be able to do enough research and pay attention in a way that, you know, and you know what, sometimes that's a smart way to do. You just punt the slate. You just say, like, you know, I know we try to no days off, but like, I just didn't have the time and I didn't want to lose money because I was making suboptimal decisions and on a Sunday slate where I was, you know, had to do other things. So anyway. That's that, man. We got to break this one down, though. Let's jump into the Monday night slate and take a look at the games we got tonight. Okay, so like I said, 5-game slate here. Six gamers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6-game slate. First one of the night, Orlando, Toronto, 206 total here. Toronto favored by 9. We're keeping an eye on the Damari Carroll news as well as the Jeff Green news on the opposite side of the ball. I don't think Jeff Green's going to play. He hasn't been playing lately. That, of course, opens up a lot of Terrence Ross minutes and usage. And Damari Carroll is really interesting. If Damari Carroll sits in this one, he's a game time. If Damari Carroll sits in this one, that's really going to be nice because you're going to get a lot more Norman Powell and a lot more PJ Tucker. And those guys play well when Damari's off the floor and they free up those minutes for them. So those are two nice value spots. This is an interesting game. You know, obviously Toronto favored by 9 at home. Toronto, the much better team. Orlando in development mode, giving most of their minutes to their first unit to try and see what they have in those guys. You know, they're not restricting the minutes for Elf and Aaron Gordon and Vooch. You know, those guys are young and they want to try to figure out what they have as far as a core. So their minutes have been very consistent lately. I think we can trust the minutes in the Magic rotation because they really just don't have a lot of depth. And a lot of the guys that are on the bench are older. CJ Watson, I mean, they're not going to give CJ Watson and DJ Augustine minutes over their young guys. Give their young guys minutes to develop with Vogel and figure out if what they have as a team going into the next year. Now, on the Toronto side of the ball, obviously Toronto, a team that we have no problem targeting because they're in, you know, they're staying in the hunt in that four seed in the Eastern Conference. You know, they now are 7 games up on the Hawks, who they would love to play the Hawks. They would absolutely love to play the Hawks. In fact, I don't even know if they want to even chase the Wizards, because the Wizards right now have the Bucks. But I think the Bucks are probably going to overtake the Hawks completely. The Hawks are playing terrible. Absolutely terrible. They just are. They lost to Brooklyn yesterday. I mean, are you kidding me? They're just absolutely, they're talking about a team that's tired. They are banged up. They've lost 7 in a row. Millsap out. The rest of them are just playing like crap. It just is, it's a bad situation in Atlanta. And, you know, I think the Raps are perfectly comfortable if they have to play the Hawks, but honestly, the Bucks are streaking and the Bucks are probably going to overtake the Hawks. So look for the Bucks to get into the 5 seed, which, god damn, how exciting is that, man? What a great late push by the Bucks to, you know, not, you know, it's almost like a Jabari goes down and it's like pack up the season. And then all of a sudden Middleton comes back and they're a plus defensive team and they're winning these close games. That's just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyway, Detroit and New York, no total in this one. Waiting on Melo news, but both of these teams are kind of about to pack it in. Honest, well, New York obviously has packed it in. They're out of it. But Pistons on a bad losing streak over the weekend. Lost 3 in a row. They lost to the Bulls. They lose to the Nets. They get blown out by the Magic. I don't think there's any real reason for the Pistons to continue to fight. I don't know necessarily though what they're doing. I mean, they're one game back of the Heat, you know, but they're clearly in a bad place. They're not a good team. I mean, this is a game that they should be able to win easily, but I don't really trust their minutes. If you look at their game logs right now, their rotations are a hot mess. They're a hot mess, you know, and it's a hard team to trust because Van Gundy basically doesn't trust anyone in his rotation beyond Tobias Harris. So, I don't know. I think on the New York side, we can really feel good if Carmelo is out. Do we know what that rotation is going to look like? We're going to get a lot of Mindaugas Kuzminskis. Derrick Rose and Kristaps have played well without Carmelo in the lineup, really pushing the pace and getting a lot of extra attempts. So I think we could go to them. They're playing that small ball there with Kristaps at the 5, and then they're getting Hernan Gomez in, who's also an athletic 5. So, you know, I think we have to keep an eye on the news here, and in that game, tread lightly. I would not really have too much exposure to guys in that game. Cleveland at San Antonio. This is a big one. 211 total here. San Antonio favored by 5 at home. This is a must win for Cleveland. They're dead even with Boston. Boston's win yesterday over Miami puts Cleveland and Boston at dead heat. Which is like Cleveland's worst case scenario. They want home court advantage in the playoffs. You better believe it. But God, LeBron is so banged up, and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving just haven't done enough to make up for the fact that LeBron is hurting. And when LeBron is not 100%, this team struggles, and their defense is terrible. So, you know, you got to think that San Antonio here definitely is in a good spot to get a W. I don't think San Antonio would take an L in this one and just punt the game. I really don't. But they are very safely in the 2 seed. But then again, you know, like, why wouldn't they have taken the punt against a team like New York Knicks, you know, and rested Kawhi and LaMarcus and just tried to win that one? I don't know. So I don't think we're going to get any rest candidates here from Pop. I think that you may later in the week get a couple rest games from those guys. But you know, you never know with Popovich. So keep your eyes very close to the news, but, obviously it should be a competitive game here, and Cleveland's going to bring all they got because that loss to the Wizards over the weekend is killing them. Especially the fact that Boston has such a cupcake schedule and they've been at home, and, you know, so it's an interesting one to watch for sure, but no real injuries that we're worried about here. So, Oklahoma at Dallas, 205 total here. Oklahoma only favored by 1. OKC needs a W, man. They you know, they got that easy win against Philly, but then they come back and they lose a bad one to Houston. They are still probably a little bit, you know, bruised from that brutal loss to Golden State. I mean, you think about it, they lose to a terrible, terrible loss to Golden State and a terrible loss to Houston in the same week. You're just like, oh God, what are we going to do in the playoffs? And they're probably tired, man. And they lost to Dallas last time they played them. So they need a win here at Dallas. You know, low pace, low total here, and no injuries to consider. So, you know, I mean, you can fire up your Westbrook, no question. And, of course, Dallas kind of in it, you know, kind of, I guess. I don't know necessarily. I mean, they need help from the Blazers and the Nuggets. You know, they really need some losses for those two teams. And, you know, I think the fact that the Nuggets lost last night helps them a lot, but they're still 3.5 games back of the Nuggets. So I think, you know, I don't think Carlisle hasn't shown any signs of packing it in, because I think he knows anything can happen. And with Dirk's age, they want to be able to maybe offer him any kind of playoff seeding that they can get. So Memphis and Sacramento, no total here. Waiting on the Gasol news. Mark didn't play last night, but I do think that was calculated rest before the back-to-back. This is another team that's just tired, man. These old guys are banged up. You're getting a lot of Vince Carter minutes. But Marc Gasol, he's sitting right now with a foot injury, foot sprain. You know, it could have just been one of those nagging things. I haven't seen anything from him in other games. I think it may have just been a calculated rest move to not have him exert himself against Golden State. And they come back and they can take a nice solid win against a team in Sacramento that they should beat, who is Sacramento coming off the back-to-back. So, you know, I don't mind the Memphis side of this game at all. I think that it's pretty safe, you know, given the matchup. And, you know, it's going to be pretty competitive. I mean, Sacramento, just with their young guys, they got fresh legs and they are playing well. I mean, you know, guys like Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein and Scalabissier, they just haven't played a full season like the rest of the NBA. And so, you know, you see them, they have a lot of spring in their step and they're giving teams a hard time. So, you know, we'll wait to see what the total is there, but gosh, I hope Gasol plays. I really like Gasol in that spot. New Orleans at Utah, no total here either, because we're waiting on Gordon Hayward news and DeMarcus Cousins news. No, two teams that are banged up. DeMarcus Cousins sits out the Nuggets game with an ankle. They crush anyway. Anthony Davis just goes to town. Jokic barely plays because they just blow him out in the first half. I don't know what happened there to Denver. I didn't watch that game, but when I saw the numbers on it, I was like, oh my God. But yeah, Hayward took a big thigh bruise in the Clippers game on Saturday. So he's a game time. I got to think he plays. The Jazz need this one. The Jazz are in the, you know, they lose to the Clips, but then the Clips do them that favor and lose to Sacramento. So they're now one game ahead of the Clippers, but, you know, they would like to get this win against the Pelicans, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if Hayward is injured, then this, they may not really have a choice. They may not be able to get this win. So, and Hayward just not, he just doesn't have his legs. He's not shooting well. He played well against New York, but I mean, come on, it's New York. You know, so it's interesting. And the favors knee thing just really hurts their front court. It's just people are banged up, man. These teams are banged up. So, you know, games that I feel like good about, I feel good about the rotations in the Orlando-Toronto game. I think that you can trust the rotations and the minutes there. I think I feel good about the rotations in the Cleveland-San Antonio game. Always tread cautiously with Popovich, though. You know, and I think, and Ty Lue, they're both kind of unpredictable, to be honest with you. But I don't see them. I don't know. I think they need these games. And San Antonio needs a win. Not needs a win, but they need to bounce back from that terrible game they played against the Knicks. OKC, Dallas, I feel good about the rotations there. Both teams are going to give their guys 30 minutes. You know, I feel good about that. You know, and I think Memphis, Sacramento, it's all about targeting the right guys who are going to get minutes. You know, I think if we get any rest news, which some of these veterans have been getting rest, like Tolliver and stuff like that, then you fire up the young guns, the Buddy Hields and the Scalabissiers and the Georges Papianis or whatever the case may be. So, you know, in New Orleans, Utah, that's just a kind of keep your eye on it type situation. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the player breakdown and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, let's go through the lock and load segment here. This is where we break down the top of the slate, the studs at every position. Try to figure out where we want to put our stud money in this situation. And obviously at the top of the slate, we've got Russ. He's 12-9. He's going to Dallas. Situation is this. He needs a win at Dallas. They've taken some lumps recently. They need a bounce back. They need a confidence booster. Dallas is playing well. They beat the Clippers recently. They're scrapping, you know, but they are pretty inconsistent as well. You know, OKC and the Clips OKC and Dallas very inconsistent of late. There's a 103 implied total here. It's definitely a drop in pace. It's not a good DVP situation. They're top five to the point guard. And, you know, it's their team defense, really. I mean, the way that Dallas plays, they limit your possessions. They grind really, really slowly. And they're not going to let you have extra shots. They're going to try to take it down to the wire and come away with a close win at the end of the day. So, you know, the interesting thing is though, as a unit, they do allow solid scoring to the guard and decent peripherals as well. Rebounds, they don't rebound that well. So, you know, I think Russ is in a decent position here. He's not perfect. They kept him under 50 in his most recent matchup, okay? I don't think this is a 70 burger. You know, this isn't yesterday against Houston where you have pace up, tons of points scored. Russ gets to do whatever he wants for 40 minutes. You know, that's just not going to happen. There's not enough possessions in this game. So, you know, there was one game earlier this year where he had 59, which, you know, at 12-9, I think he would take 59 points from Russ in this. I don't think that's unreasonable. He's averaged 49 points on road back to back, plus two on his projection. So I think it's kind of, you know, a question of roster construction. If you really want to go with Russ, he's always safe for probably, I would say he's safe for 50 here at a minimum. I think you're going to probably put his ceiling at about 62 points here, though. I don't think you're going to get much more than that given the pace. And, you know, that's probably going to come through peripheral. So you'd have to see a lot of rebounds, assists, maybe a couple extra steals. I think the question for me is cost. I find it really hard paying for studs against Dallas. You know, I almost talked myself into paying for Chris Paul the other night against Dallas because they've been giving up a lot of scoring to the point guard. And I was like, you know what? Chris Paul he's in a must-win situation. They've been giving up a lot of scoring to the point guard, But then I was like, you know what? The tiebreaker here between Dame and Chris Paul for me. The tiebreaker here is pace. If you don't have those extra possessions, you just don't have extra attempts. You don't have extra shot attempts. You know, 3-4 extra shot attempts a game, 3-4 extra rebounds a game, opportunities for those kinds of things really add up. And, you know, I think for me in this situation, pace is one of the indicators that I'm just not that interested in a really, really slowed down, paced down Russell Westbrook at almost 13K. I don't know. I love Russ. You know, and in a weird slate like this, it really feels like he might be viable. But I think you have to figure out where your roster construction takes you. You know, if you want to go with LeBron or DeRozan or something like that. And I understand that makes sense. DeRozan at 9-2 shooting guard is in a really good situation. You know, we know his usage is massive. His 35% usage rate. He's been taking almost 20 shots a game. Orlando's 22nd in DVP to the shooting guard. He's implied for 46 fantasy points. Orlando's allowing 50 real life points to guards. That's the highest number on the slate. His usage is up. His scoring is up in the last week. He's been playing extremely well, getting to the free throw line, double digit attempts at the free throw line pretty much every single game. You know, there's not a lot of resistance defensively from Orlando. There really isn't. The only thing I think you want to consider is really like, and this is kind of silly, but you know, some people may say this, but like, I think that what limits his upside is the narrative factor here. I'm going to be really honest with you. This is an Ibaka revenge game, and Serge in that Dallas game took 18 shots at same number as DeRozan. Serge has his third highest usage rate on the team. I mean, Kyle Lowry's sitting, but it's basically DeRozan, Lowry, and then Serge. He's a 22% usage rate right now. He took as many shots as DeMar in that Dallas game. And I think, you know, you can expect him to take 15 attempts in this game. And if you worry that maybe Ibaka goes into takeover mode and tries to really crush the Orlando, that's something you think about. You know, that subjective opinion may get you off of DeRozan. But the objectively, this is a really good use of your money. This is an excellent price, an excellent situation for an excellent player who's in a high usage situation. So I have absolutely no problem with DeMar on this slate whatsoever, especially considering when you look at shooting guard, it's really not that pretty. So, you know, it's up to you, but I think he's in a good position. So moving on to small forward, it's a pick 'em here, guys. It's LeBron and Kawhi. I mean, you have two elite players, highest usage players on their team, going head-to-head in this situation. We've seen them go head-to-head this year. Kawhi outscored LeBron in that situation, and you've got Kawhi at 9-1, and you've got LeBron at 10-9. You know, I think we have to break down both situations. For the Cavs and LeBron, they just dropped a game to the Wizards at home. Their defense is a huge problem. LeBron has this cornea thing that he got clocked in the eye in that Charlotte game. He was going hard to the hole, and it was a clean play. It just was the guy's, I think it was Marvin Williams, his hand was just, LeBron moved the ball, and it was just, the ball became his face. He's banged up, man. The Celtics are dead even with them. They need a win. I just don't see LeBron sitting here. I think even if Ty Lue was like, hey, man, you don't have to play this game, LeBron would be like, yeah, we do. We have to play. It's the Spurs. We're not just going to sit down and roll over and show the rest of the league that we just don't have it right now. For the Spurs, they don't need a win from a record perspective, but there is something weird going on with them right now. I mean, the Knicks stayed around in that game. Defensively, they played really, really poorly. All of the Spurs acknowledged, you know, I was reading the post-game report about this, and all the Spurs acknowledged, like, we played badly. We played really badly, and, you know, Pop had this amazing quote. Some reporter goes, do you feel like you need to motivate your guys in the back half of the season? And he goes, motivate them? No. These are professional basketball players. If you can't get motivated to be a professional at what you do, and you're not motivated by the fact that you're getting paid a gazillion dollars, and you're bored, then I'll find someone else who isn't bored. He's like, I've never had anybody who's bored on my team in the last 20 years. Like, let this hung this reporter out to dry. But I mean, this is the thing about this team is they don't have guys like Tim Duncan where you don't have breakdowns. Like Tim Duncan was the kind of guy that Pop could put in the game and he would get the sixth sense from Pop that things were going poorly and no, the breakdowns would stop. The defensive breakdowns would stop. The mistakes would stop. They would be fine, you know. I mean, and Tony and Manu, they're older. Their legs aren't there. That's late in the season. So you got guys like, you know, Patty Mills and Kyle Anderson and even Kawhi to a degree, just not making enough plays. And Pau Gasol, you know, so the defense just isn't there for them right now. And I think that they want to be able to challenge themselves and try and bounce back from that game against the Knicks. So I think they'll play, you know, previous matchup history here. Kawhi had 53 against the Cavs. He won the game for them. He brought it to overtime. You know, LeBron had 43 in that game. I think it's just from a price perspective. If you have the same range of outcomes, somewhere near 50 for Kawhi and LeBron, you're going to take Kawhi because he's cheaper and he's not banged up and he's not on the road. He's at home. He's healthy and he's cheaper. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of an easy decision for me. This is just, the price is too cheap for Kawhi, too. So, you know, give me Leonard over LeBron. But LeBron will come lower owned, I bet, for that exact reason. Everybody's going to think the same thing I am. At power forward, it's Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, I mean, dude had an amazing game last night. He's only 10-8. He's still underpriced, man. We know this guy has 60-point upside. And, in fact, he's hit 60 in... He's at 60, you know, in that Houston game, he had 60. And yesterday he had 52 fantasy points in 28 minutes. That's craziness. He was easily on the way to 60 last night, but they blew out Denver and he didn't have to play in the fourth. I think, you know, it's not a great matchup with Utah. Not at all. I mean, they're top five in DVP across the board. Pace down situation. Exact opposite of what you had in Denver and Houston. I mean, you just, it's the exact opposite. Literally. I mean, Denver and Houston, two highest paced teams in the league. They're bottom five in DVP across the board. Utah's the exact opposite. You know, Utah is not playing perfectly right now, but like the play, the way they play, their style of play, it's good enough that you want to stay away. I think it's an ownership advantage, but I also think you got to be careful here. 5X is not really in his future at this price and this pace. There's a lack of rebound potential with, you know, Gobert's quality defense there. I don't see him as a cash game play. He's always GPP viable, so that's what you do. You take the ownership advantage there in a GPP. At center, Rudy Gobert, I think, is very interesting. You know, I think we have to presume maybe that if Boogie is out, then I really like Gobert tonight because you just have one less body down there, and Gobert is definitely the most physical person in the front court at that point. Leading the league in a one-week scoring differential, so there's this trends tool on fantasy or on Roto Grinders that tracks, you know, whose scoring is up, whose usage is up in the last week. Well, Rudy Gobert's at the top. He's plus 11 points in the last week. That's more than normal. His offensive usage is just way up. I think, you know, he's had five double-doubles in each of his last five games. He scored 35 points against the Knicks. I think the thing about Gobert is that, like, his scoring does a lot for the Jazz. When they need offense that doesn't rely on their shooters like Ingles and Hood and Hill and Hayward, Gobert, they feed Gobert because he can get to the rim and he can score. And he has a good post game. And Hayward's struggling. All those guys are struggling. I think Gobert's keeping them in this, you know, and they feel okay about their situation in the playoffs right now. You know, a little bit of a lead on the Clips, but if they lose tonight, they're in a dead heat with the Clippers. You know, at some point, these teams are going to stop trading games. The problem is that you really can't rest as long as you have Oklahoma City on their tail. Like, if Oklahoma City starts dropping a couple games, then you start to feel better about the 4 and the 5 seed. But if Oklahoma City is winning games, as long as Oklahoma City is winning games, then they have to continue to try to win to stay in the 4 and the 5 and not get lapped by Oklahoma City so they don't have to play the freaking Rockets. Gobert had 43 last time out against Boogie and the Brow. In fact, he was the highest scoring center in that game. Boogie and Brow both only went for 30, where Gobert went for 43. He's averaged 45 points, though, in the last 10 and 49, excuse me, 40, 45 in the last 10, 49 in the last 5. I mean, it's rebounding. Dude is getting, he's got like over 15 rebounds in 4 of the last 5 games. You know, no favors in the lineup. He really does get a lot more rebounds. As I said earlier about New Orleans, though, they're not done. I think the thing about them is that they're still trying to figure out what they have. They're like kind of like Orlando right now, right? What do we have in this rotation? Who do we have? They're giving minutes. They're trying to figure out their guard rotation. Their guard rotation is sketchy, you know, with Moore and Holiday, or excuse me, Moore and Heald, or not Heald, Moore and Frazier and Crawford. Those guys are all splitting minutes. But the bigs, no. I mean, no. And I think you know exactly what Gobert's situation is going to be in the front court. And if you think that that's, you know, it's a good situation, then go with Gobert. But I think there's other options too at center, no question. Okay, let's move on to the fantasy crowd here, trying to figure out where we want these mid-price guys. 5 to 8K range. At point guard, it's pretty thin, man. I think that there's a couple options that you can go with here. It's really, I don't know. It's not my favorite, but anyway, I really like Mike Conley. I think Mike Conley in a good situation against Sacramento. His price isn't perfect, but I think that his minutes, his usage are safe, and his matchup is not bad. Right? I mean, nothing about the Sacramento point guard defense really scares me. And Conley has had a decent matchup history with them this year. It's 7-9. He's on a road back to back, but he's averaged plus 2. On his projections there, 30 fantasy points. He's hit 38 and 36 in his last two games against the Kings. And he's priced hit that number exactly, right? You know, anywhere between 35 and 40 you'll take from Mike Conley tonight. you know, Memphis, they need the win. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. They're on a 3-game losing streak. I think they, I honestly do think they rested Gasol to say, we know we can't beat Golden State right now at the way that we're feeling, but I think we can beat Sacramento, and let's get Gasol back and rested against Sacramento to make sure we win that game. You know, I mean, it's just calculated, you know, for the veteran guys, it's just a calculated move. They've been average against the point guard, Sacramento has recently, but they've allowed a couple massive games as well in the last five. Steph blew up against them. I had 62 fantasy points. You know, Conley is not Steph, but he's going to get a couple steals. They turn the ball over a lot. You know, maybe a couple threes, which the Kings, we know, allow a lot of scoring on the perimeter. They're, you know, allowing a lot of points to perimeter players right now. It's like Steph. I think the other one that's relatively safe is Elf. You know, Elf has a nice price and he has upside, and he has secure minutes. That's the thing. So those are all three good, you know, he does have a floor and he always makes you a little bit nervous, but Toronto's point guard defense is not necessarily anything to be too nervous about, you know, and against, Toronto just a couple weeks ago, he had 24 fantasy points and 34 fantasy points. So I think, you know, we can say that Elf goes for his normal 30 here. You know, and we always know that he has the upside based on the peripherals and stuff like that. You know, and then you kind of go down and you have, we have Derrick Rose and George Hill as well. I mean, I think Hill has the matchup advantage as far as, you know, just quality of perimeter defense. They're just not there. You know, and if Gordon Hayward sits, then you really have to think about Hill because there's going to need to be some scoring from the other members of the Jazz. You know, the same goes for Rose, though, too. Like, Derrick Rose has been playing really well without Carmelo in the lineup. So if Carmelo sits, then I think you have to think about Derrick Rose. But those are the only times that I'm really going to think about those two guys. Otherwise, I'm just going to go down to, you know, a Corey Joseph or something like that, somebody cheap. But point guard is not great today, which is part of the reason maybe you want to pay up for Russ, you know? There's logic there. So we'll see. We'll see. At shooting guard, man, it's also rough in this mid-tier. I guess, you know, there's a couple options. You've got basically like, I mean, I guess you could go Evan Fournier. He's just nothing sexy about that, especially if it's not a plus matchup, you know? He just doesn't play that well in non-plus matchups, you know? And he played well last time against Toronto. You know, went for 20 and 10. I just don't know necessarily if he'll do that again. He's just kind of been inconsistent of late. So you go down, you got Buddy Hield and Seth Curry, you know, and Buddy Hield coming on strong. They really, really want him to develop. You know, he seems like a serviceable NBA shooting guard. He's given the attempts. He's been given the minutes. You know, Sacramento wants to just give him the ball and see what they have in him. He's part of their future. He's really embracing it. He's taken, you know, nothing below 23 minutes in the last five games. He's been getting about 30 minutes really on average. About 25 fantasy points in the last five. He's taking shots. He's getting assists. You know, you like to see that. They're basically saying, go for it. Go. We wanted you to develop in the NBA. So price is okay. But I think the other one is Seth Curry, who's moved over to the one. Dallas completely changed their starting five. It's Seth at the one, Wes at the two, Barnes at the three, Dirk at the four, and Nerlens at the five. You know, they don't really go to JJ and Yogi anymore, except for off the bench. So, you know, just as safe as Hield, I think. Same range of outcomes. You know, it's similar matchups, not great, average at best. And then Wes Matthews is just underpriced. That's why you like Wes Matthews at 4,500 for a guy who's getting 32 minutes, who we know has 25 point upside. You know, it's just, he's underpriced. That's it. You know, so you take the good price there and you expect the same range of outcomes anywhere between 20 and 30. You know, if you can pay $4,500 for 23 points, then why would you pay $5,400 for 23 points from Seth Curry or Buddy Hield? You know what I mean? And then there's a bunch of value options. You know, I think there's a lot of decent value down there at shooting guard as well. So you can go down there as well. At small forward, you're also in a really, like, rough spot in this mid-tier. Hayward banged up. Don't know if he's going to play. Even if he does play, he hasn't been playing well lately and he's priced up. If he doesn't play, though, we have a ton of Ingles and Johnson. Harrison Barnes is really the only one in this tier that I'm going to trust because I don't even know if Melo is going to play. Morris is not trustworthy in that Detroit rotation. So I think you look at Barnes, good price, really safe minutes, good production of late. Floor and ceiling are pretty ridiculous, though. I mean, he's had 14-point floor and then a 40-point ceiling, you know. 25 points is probably about right for him. He did 27 against Oklahoma City last game, and I think 27 is probably about right in this situation. He leads the Mavs in minutes. He takes plenty of attempts. You know, he's very secure in his rotation with Carlisle. So I think that, you know, if you want something that feels safe, Harrison Barnes certainly feels safe. And I've seen a lot of people go to him just because his price is really nice. Under 6K, Harrison Barnes, you feel decent about that, you know? You know he has 30-point upside. 25 to 30 points is very reasonable for Harrison Barnes, and you feel pretty good about him trying to get 27 tonight. It's a very, very safe number for him. So not bad with Harrison Barnes. And then a power forward, there's actually a lot. Kevin Love to start it off, then you got LaMarcus and Kristaps. So let's talk about them all. Love's minutes are back. Restriction is up. He's 30 minutes in the last game against the Wizards. I don't mind paying for a guy who has 40-point upside, but I don't know how much upside he has against the Spurs. I think the upside that he offers here is his low ownership. You know, he has a high ceiling, we know that, but the downside is that he's getting the Spurs. You know he's going to get low ownership, though. So I think he's GPP viable, for sure, Kevin Love. And he will be GPP viable until he gets into a really plus matchup. So I think, there are advantages to Kevin Love, but there's also a real disadvantage in just that price. You know, I'd rather have LaMarcus, to be honest. You know, Love only had 27 against them in one game this year. His price is high. I'd say he's in third place of these three guys for me. And Aldridge, he's playing extremely well. I mean, set his floor 30 points pretty much after this heart thing happened. He's averaged 37 in the last five games. He averaged 21-8 in those games. He's getting 32 minutes consistently. His price is just excellent for what he's been producing. He's basically a fantasy point per minute. And at 41 minutes against the Cavs earlier this year, he had 42 points. Great. Give me 32 minutes fantasy point per minute of LaMarcus Aldridge. It was just an ideal cash game play. It's smart. You know, you have a 30-point floor in this plus matchup. So, however, the Porzingis is the cheapest of these, and he has the same range of outcomes. You know, the question is Melo going to be there? If Melo sits, then I think you have to go Porzingis. He had 43 against Detroit last week with Melo out. He did have six blocks, which is a total outlier, but 30 plus is in the cards for a guy who basically is at the core of their offense and everything that they want to do. So, you know, and Detroit just isn't playing well right now. They're just not good. Last but not least, I would be a fool if I walked away from the slate and I didn't talk about Serge. Serge at 5'7 is almost a surefire lock. The price is just really good and he's getting a revenge game. You know, he played well against Dallas, 30 points there. He's been playing really well. He's basically the second option right now on the Raptors, and I think that you have to think about him in a plus matchup in a revenge game at home. No question. I mean, Serge is a lock for me, I think. So Kristaps and Serge are leading the way as far as this mid-tier, and then, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is a really, really, really nice spot as well. I like him too. Moving on to center, there's a couple guys I really like here, but I think Marc Gasol at 7'6 is my favorite. And I mentioned this the other day or earlier in the breakdown. I think it was calculated rest. I really do. I think he's going to play. He's one of my favorite players on the board tonight. He always comes with lower ownership. His price is down. Sacramento has really struggled in the front court in fours and fives. Gasol is actually better off of rest and on the road, strangely enough. And Sacramento just played yesterday. So I think that you have a serious advantage here with the rested Marc Gasol at a low price. You know, they just gave up a massive game to a guy like Rudy Gobert. They're clearly, their front court defense is not that good. In the last five games, they've given up 60 points in DVP. It's one of the worst in the league. You know, if we don't know if Gasol is going to play, if he looks like his foot is out or he doesn't go through shoot around or he's not probable or whatever the case may be, I think it's Vucherman against Toronto. I love him in this spot at 8-2. They just still haven't gotten his price right. He should be almost 9K by now. All these games over 40 points, he should be at least 8-8. You know, it took forever for them to price up Gobert, but now I think we're going to see, you know, another good game from Vooch, and this is the last time you're going to see him below 8-5. So I think you can lock in Vooch in this spot. He had 52 against Toronto in one game this year. The other one, it was like 33, but he had 52 in one game. So I love Vooch in this spot. Nerlens is interesting just because he's now a starter. You know, and he's been getting double-digit rebounds. But he just doesn't have nearly the upside of a Gasol or a Vooch, you know, who both have 40-point upside. And I think the advantage that you have with Gasol is he's a late hammer and he's low-owned. He's my favorite. So let's hope that Gasol plays. All right, let's dive into the bargain basement here and figure out if there's any value on this slate. Point guard, it's rough, man. Corey Joseph is pretty much it. I guess you could go down to Patty Mills or Tony Parker, but I'm not touching Yogi Ferrell. I'm not touching JJ Barea. I'm not touching Reggie Jackson and Ish. I just don't know who's going to get the minutes there. So Kojo, very secure minutes, very solid price, very solid 20-point floor in a plus matchup. You know, he's a really good value play, and you know you're not going to get burned by Corey Joseph right now at this point in the season. So I don't mind Corey Joseph at all. You know, like I said, Patty Mills and Tony Parker are risky, but they're cheap. And whoever gets the 25 minutes instead of the 20 minutes will probably get the 20 fantasy points. You know, I don't think either of them are going to rest. I think they're going to split like they normally do. So it's kind of makes them both meh. At shooting guard, there's actually a lot of different options down here below 4K. So we start with Wesley Matthews, and he's obviously in a really good value price. I'm not touching anybody in the rest of that 4K range, to be honest with you. But I will dabble in some Norman Powell, especially if we get no Damari Carroll. I like Norman Powell a lot. I think his usage in the second unit goes way up because PJ Tucker then isn't on the second unit. And Rodney Hood, interestingly enough. I think it's a decent spot to go back to Rodney Hood. 3,700, he's getting 20 minutes. Decent matchup with New Orleans. And, you know, Utah needs a win. And I think if Hayward is limited in his effectiveness, then you could see Hood try to take on a little bit more offense, which I like. It's risky. It's really risky. But then you have like the whole Tim Frazier versus Etuan Moore thing, both getting 20 minutes. They're playing Utah. I'm not touching that. You know, and I think you could go down. The other option is Danny Green. 3,600. He's getting Cleveland. That's a great matchup for him. He rested on Saturday so that he would be ready for this Cleveland game. His minutes are there. He's safe for, you know, he's not going to bust, but is he going to get you 20 points? I'm not sure. It's basically about how his shot's falling. So, you know, the minutes are going to be there, though, for Danny Green. So I don't mind Danny Green. I don't mind Rodney Hood. I don't mind Norman Powell, but I think they're news dependent. You know, Norman Powell and Rodney Hood definitely gain a lot of momentum if they have injuries to Hayward and Damari Carroll. So, you know, those are guys to consider for sure. But other than that, I'm not really touching anybody else on this. And J.R. Smith, just price is great, but like, God, he just hasn't done a blessed thing since he's come back. I mean, you know, his ceiling has been 13 points. He just is playing poorly. So I can't touch J.R. Smith yet. you know, and Jordan Crawford down there, I don't know. I mean, he had 30 points against Denver, but that was mostly garbage time, you know, fourth quarter garbage time in a pace up situation. You know, he's anywhere between 10 and 10:30. So he's a dart throw. He's a dart throw, but it's a dart throw against Utah. You don't throw darts against Utah. So, you know, those guys that I mentioned are pretty much the only ones that are in play. I think at small forward, you can definitely look at, Ingles. Ingles is going to be, you can definitely look at Terrence Ross too. Revenge game here. And Terrence Ross just playing really well. 24, 24, 29. As soon as Jeff Green went down, Terrence Ross really, really stepped up. So Terrence Ross is really not a problem, but you will see high ownership on him. I think in the opposite side of the ball, PJ Tucker is really interesting. He's been playing extremely well. He went for 30 which was insane. He went for 30 against Dallas, but, you know, same situation, same, basically same stats as Terrence Ross. I mean, you know, 24, 22, 31. And he, you know, he had a really, he's kind of had a nice situation getting, you know, 9-9 with some assists, you know, and some steals. That's when you really, really like the defense there as well from PJ Tucker, 30 minutes in the last couple games. He's been playing very well for the Raps. So, you know, don't mind PJ Tucker, don't mind Terrence Ross, and Ingles is in play if Hayward is out for sure, as well as Joe Johnson. So you have a lot of value at shooting guard, or excuse me, small forward as well. And then on down to power forward, I think, you know, once you get past Ibaka, it's a little thin. Oh, by the way, it's small forward. If Melo doesn't play, then you have to play Kuzminskis. Kuzminskis is playing extremely well. Sorry, I forgot to mention Kuzminskis. Once you go down from, though, Serge at power forward and you go below there, I mean, I would love to be able to play Tobias Harris. I think Tobias Harris is in a good spot against New York. He just, like, he didn't get any minutes against Orlando, and he was supposed to do well against Orlando. He only had 41 fantasy or 14 fantasy points. I just don't know necessarily how to trust anybody in that Detroit game. And then you could go down to Aaron Gordon. Meh. 20 points. Fine. Scala Bissier, if we get news that anybody's resting for the Kings, then I think you can play Scal, because when people rest, he plays really well. He gets those extra minutes. But I think we need to know that somebody's sitting, like a Tolliver or something like that. John Lohr got a lot of minutes the other game against Orlando, and, you know, Detroit, that's a good matchup. He's kind of a dart throw. But I really like Jermichael Green, too. You know, I think that Zebo got a lot of run last night against the Warriors at the center position. And Jermichael Green, you know, is just younger. He's a little bit more healthy. He should be able to take, you know, another 25-plus minutes here. And at 4-1, you just like the way that he plays. You know, rebounding and scoring. I think that he's in a really good spot, you know, at a really good price against a pretty bad front court. So, you know, maybe Jermichael Green as well. Then at center, once you go down below Nerlens, you know, I guess you could think about Hernan Gomez, but I don't know. I mean, against Drummond, it doesn't really interest me. I think that what you have to think about is maybe the rest situation. If you get any rest from, you know, if you get rest for like Drummond or something like that, then you have, you know, Boban Marjanovic and Aaron Baines. Or if you get any rest on the Sacramento side, you have Papianis. But Papianis played a bunch of minutes yesterday against the Clippers and played really well. So, you know, I think you have to kind of tread with caution down here to figure out if anybody is going to rest or not play. Then you can fire up some of these guys. But these are just rotation guys. You know, the value down here really isn't there. And I'm not playing Tristan Thompson against San Antonio. And Steven Adams is just way too inconsistent and bad lately for me to feel good about him versus Dallas. So that's pretty much it. You know, maybe Jonas Valanciunas, but he's always very risky. So keep your eye on the news. You know, maybe we get some good news and somebody's sitting, but I'm not really going much further beyond, you know, Hernan Gomez or Nerlens, to be honest with you. And I much prefer the sevens and eights. I think you spend your money in the sevens or eights. And by the way, the whole Drummond thing, be careful what you wish for. I mean, Drummond is at a great price and in a great matchup, but look at the minutes. You know, I don't know if they're shutting him down, but he's going down 26, 20 minutes in the last two games. He just isn't getting any run. And that could just be because Van Gundy's pissed off, but I don't know. It's risky. It's just so risky to play these Detroit players and you don't know what the hell Van Gundy in the front office is doing. Because he's president and coach. So he could be shutting it down, or he could be firing it up to try to get them in the playoffs. I have no idea, honestly. Anyway, let's go into lineup lock. Let's build a core lineup here, figure out a starting place for our lineups to get you guys started on lineup construction for tonight. From a strategic standpoint, I think during this time of the year, you have to offer yourself a really serious floor in your lineups. And you have to be willing to say, you know, like, okay, I know this isn't a sexy play, but I know I can get 20 plus points out of this guy and just take the points and hope for upside in that situation and really, really target well-priced players. Now, on this slate, I think it's absolutely viable for you to go stars and scrubs. I think that it's possible to really do that. You can definitely fit in two serious stars. I've built lineups where you have, Kawhi and Russ. It's super viable. It's absolutely viable. But I think that what I really like in the lineup that I have right now is that I have basically, I have 30 plus minutes across the board from everybody. Now, of course, we're going to get news, okay? But I think what I have at 30 plus minutes is 30 minutes across the board. So I started with Kawhi. I just feel really good about the price and the matchup, the situation. Kawhi, boom, lock. And then I went down to center. I really like Marc Gasol. I'm making the assumption that Gasol is going to play. Of course, if he's not going to play, then I have a really easy pivot for you guys. But I also locked in Serge Ibaka and LaMarcus Aldridge. I just feel good about their prices and their floors. So, I mean, I look at guys who I know, Kawhi, LaMarcus, Serge, Gasol. Teams that need, teams that, you know, the rotations are secure, competitive games, minutes are there, pricing is good for all of them, you know? I'm not taking too many risks here. I'm not just saying like, well, maybe he does a good job. This is a cash game lineup. You want to be sure that you get a floor out of these guys to keep you in the fight. And then what I did was I said, okay, now I have 2 point guard spots. I have 2 shooting guard spots and a small forward spot. Now I think that the mid-tier small forward doesn't really interest me. And I think that there's going to be value here. It's a question of which value guy I use. For the moment, I'm going to use PJ Tucker, because he's shown a lot of upside, especially maybe with Damari Carroll out. I think he's in a good position in this game against Orlando, which is kind of a, you know, meh game. You know, I much prefer him than Kuz, for example, against Detroit. They're just the better defensive team than Orlando is. So I like PJ Tucker in this game at 3,900. So I went PJ Tucker. And then I went up to shooting guard and point guard. And basically I went with a high price and a low price guy. Okay, and I went DeMar DeRozan and Wes Matthews, and I went Mike Conley and Corey Joseph. You know, nobody's really sexy, but they're all starters, and they're really, really, you know, in good positions. Now, if I didn't want to go DeMar, I could very easily get off DeMar, go down to, go down to Rodney Hood, for example, and then upgrade Mike Conley to Russ. That works too. So, I mean, that's very viable as well, right? Corey Joseph, Russ, Rodney Hood, Wesley Matthews. I just think DeMar is in a really good position in this game as well. You know, and I realize that I'm kind of overweight on Toronto players, but this is a really plus matchup for them in a game that they want to continue to win. So I think that it's okay to take guys in a small rotation that feel, you know, I feel positive about. But so the lineup that I have for the moment, depending on news, and of course, you know, I always encourage you guys, you know, do your own research, do your own work here, build your own lines based on what I see. Right now, it's Mike Conley, Corey Joseph, DeMar DeRozan, Wes Matthews, Kawhi Leonard, PJ Tucker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Serge Ibaka, and Marc Gasol. Now, let's say that I get no Marc Gasol. Easy. That means I definitely want to stay on Mike Conley for the higher usage rate, but I could do one of two things. I could very easily get off of LaMarcus and maybe go down to one of the guys that's going to pick up some usage for him, right? I could easily go down to a Zach Randolph. I could easily go down to a Jermichael Green. And then I could spend up somewhere else and I could get Vooch in the lineup. So let's see maybe if I want to get Vooch. And then I'm going to go down to, I could go down to Porzingis. But I also think that there's going to be a usage bump in that front court for some of the other guys that are out there. So maybe let's go down to Zebo, okay? And then I can, you know, upgrade somewhere else in the lineup as well. You know, maybe upgrade Corey Joseph to a George Hill or something like that. You know, not anything really sexy, but I'd fool with it because I think it would be foolish not to try to attack that Sacramento front court. But, you know, it's also very possible to just go Vooch and Porzingis, you know, and then, okay, that's the Gasol isn't playing, then it's the bottom is Porzingis, Ibaka, Vooch. which I feel good about as well. So that's where we're at for the moment, guys. You know, like I said, it's very easy to get Russ and Kawhi in there. It's very easy to get LeBron and Kawhi in there if you want to do that. Stars and scrubs are very viable. I do think you want two studs. I always feel really good about lineups, though, where I have two players with 50-point upside who are priced at 9K. I think 9K is just a great price point to target. You know, in all honesty, the studs, a guy at 9K has 50-point upside, and guys at 10 and 11K also are probably projected for the 50-point range as well. So, you know, you kind of take a little bit of a savings, but you also know that you have a stud in that price point. So I really like Kawhi and DeMar at those prices. I think they're really good prices, and it allows me to have really, really solid floor throughout the rest of my lineup. And that's, you know, keep in the fight all the way to the end in cash games. You want to stay in the fight. You want no holes. No, nobody just flopping. No, you know, no Rashawn. You don't want, I don't want to get Rashawn Holmes again like I did on Friday night. Although I don't, that was a total outlier performance. That's not a good comparison. But anyway, all right, guys. Hey, Patreon updates throughout the day, cheat sheet updates throughout the day. Good luck in your contest tonight. Reach out to us. You know, yes, I know people have been asking me about baseball. Yes, baseball is in the works. But one thing to know about baseball, just so you guys are aware, we're probably going to practice getting, you know, getting hosting down and getting the show format down, because it's going to be, I would hate to deliver a product on opening day of baseball when we feel like it has to be adjusted. So we will probably take the first week to 10 days of baseball season to get into a rhythm with the show and just practice with some of the guys that I'm going to have help me host, because this baseball season is such a grind. I'm not going to do it by myself. I can do NBA on my own, but baseball season, good gracious, forget it. If I try to break down all these baseball slates, so I'm going to be having some help during baseball season. So expect baseball to kind of take the first 2 weeks of opening off in order to get our feet wet and figure out how we want to structure the pod so that it's the best possible product for you guys. I mean, the reality is okay, fine, we wait 2 weeks in April, but it's a much better product starting in mid-April when we actually kind of actually start to see rotations too in the MLB. Like, you get one full week of pitching rotations, you know exactly what you're going to see from teams, you know, and, you know, that would be nice for us as well to get our feet wet there. So anyway, that's the baseball news. Patreon page, get in there. April coming around the corner. So if you want to get in there for April on April 1st, jump on board for the month of April. We'd love to have you. $10. Cheat sheet is live all day, every day, 7 days a week. So that's it for me, guys. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.